Okay. So we're holding here in the Tvuah with the Zrizus. Okay, so I think we were in the middle of this paragraph when he says about she doesn't do anything with Vatola, she does things that are Kiyum. Gamra Tzolayim, I think, she yechan luman emala, she oisiv maichal shalav v'noisen es machala bebayis and so. It says there are three houses, they have three layers. One is a problem, it's on the bottom, one on the top, and the middle is the best. So he says, I think that's what we spoke about last time, correct? Okay, so the next paragraph. It says it lives only a half a year and it eats a chito machza. This is just very typical. The Maral teaches us how to learn these chazal. When it says it lives only half a year, the significance of half a year is does the moral katas aminazer shein chayev dover shurak chatzi v'lo shana shleima lefishayim v'dover shalim. In other words, whenever you have halves, it's a piece of something. It's not something that is that has any. It's not a meaningful unit. The unit of life is years. So 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 100 years. This is a half a year. Means it's a piece. It doesn't have any real kiyum. The vidna davashal umachol chito machza. What does it mean? It eats a chito machza. Moire gamkein shua mina kotn yoise. She efsha yoise ktana mimena. It's describing a very small being. Vein roye she machol chito. She kol shal shemes baruch maichol acha. So here he explains the following nekuda about chito machza. Whenever there's a natural hierarchy, I have a safe. I see you looking. Whenever you have a hierarchy, so the assumption is that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu plant that fish should eat plankton, the fish are chesed and plankton. And if birds should eat the fish, the birds are cheshiva, and if animals should eat the birds, the animals are cheshiva. Everything, the food chain is meant to be an order of cheshivas. So if nemolas eat chitim, then the nemolas more cheshiv than the chita. So it says, Vein roi shem achol chita, shakal shosem esbach maichal achol yisidov yis cheshimenu. So just like a behemoth being eaten by a person is a sign of the person being more chashuv, she has to be more chashuv than the chita. V'im lo yamachzor achita achas, lo yabereza yisus chashuv min achita, kashem achol yisun achita. If it would eat one chita, so one ant per chita, It doesn't show a mastery over it. It doesn't show it's bigger, greater than it.
Why isn't it so it's greater through the achila? Shluchar doesn't matter how many you eat, but that you can eat.
And so the system would be, in other words, one chit is one unit of it. It would have to be that more than a unit is. In other words, the bigger is always something that can take in the smaller. So if the chita could feed two ants in terms of space, it would be twice as big. That's the muscle. You know, that's the lashon of Chazal using it. When Chazal wanted to describe its food, the apt description of its food is a chita machza, because it wouldn't be a chita. Kasher chayz chita. Lokach machzor chita machza. V'yevshe she pachas mizeh. Gam ein roye she machol chatz chita achas. Kim hoya chatzi chita bilvad, hoya chita yesach asher mola. Now, why not one chita, one on one? So he gives a different husband now. V'chita achas shleimo gam ken royu. Kashem yisvarach mechalik mozen chol beri. Can you speak a comment of Zohar? Lahiris al chilik se hoyemazon se oitchatzichita loyse chilik hamazon is avze. Let's talk about this. He says over here that it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is mechalik mazon lechobi yosef. There seems to be a play on words here, on the word mechalik mazon. The word mechalik, when we use it colloquially, you know, huchileket amanot means he dished out. How do you translate it? If somebody does a poor translation of uchileket ochel, would be he divided up the food. The right translation would be he distributed the food. He gave out the food. He served the food. And yet he's actually using that play on words. He's saying it has to be a chatzichita because it's a chilek of a chita, and therefore it's and Akash Baruch Hu's mechalek mizonos, and if he's mechalek mizonos, it must be a chilek of a chita, and it can't be a chita shleima. What's the plan words? What does he want with it? And he says, Bahavinze, understand it. So it means like this. And again, we're talking about the symbolism Chazal used to describe Akash Baruch Hu's giving out. When we say somebody distributed, let's take the flip example. Let's say somehow Shabbos afternoon, the parents were sleeping, the kids found their way into refrigerator, freezer, closet, whatever it is, and they took out the stuff. So everyone grabs whatever you can grab. It's not the pshat that the food is measured out to the people and there's some sort of kavana. It's whatever, you know, as much packets as the kid has, he fills up with nash or whatever it is. In the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made food for beings, so that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu apportioned food for the beings in the world. So Lamashal, why do we say, when we say, let's say in Ivrit, you would say, the kids came, v'kol echad tafas, that's one way of saying, or ani chilakti manot lekol ha'iladim, or chilakti mamtakim la'iladim. That means there's a forethought in how much each one got. I didn't dump stuff. I gave a slice per kid. I gave a portion. You know, when you mechalek ochel, it doesn't mean to serve. It means really to apportion. You know, everyone got a portion. That's really where the word is coming from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not the pshat animals happened to find chita and they decided that, that would make a nice meal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cut out things in the world for each animal. The way you show that something's cut out, if I grab an entire thing, there's no sign there that it was cut out. When I cut a portion, the reason why it takes a half a chita is because a portion is being cut out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechalik mizonos. You know, do you see in if it's a whole chita, that is an animal, a namala is stupid, it finds a chita, schleps in the chita, and then it feasts on the chita. If it needs a chita v'chetzi, if it needs some sort of chetzi, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meeting out food, and that's shown in the chetzi shabbat. So it eats a chita and a chetzi. It can't eat just a chetzi. It can't eat. Yevshe apoks mizeh. Gamei yoshav achol chetzi chita achas. Kimoy chetzi chita vare chita yosech hashav mola. If I have just a chetzi chita, that means the chita is bigger than the mola. Each chita can host two molas. This way, if it would be a complete chita, you wouldn't have the nekuda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being mechalek. When you have a chita v'chetzi, you have that type of idea. That's pshat v'chazal.
Just yeah. To touch on the sugya of the chiluk to animals, there's a hashkocha there. So how can you call it a lechalik? There's not a hashkocha to animals.
In the system, there is hashkocha. In other words, there's no hashkocha that this ant was a good boy and that's why it's getting more chita, but there's a hashkocha klolis, the ecology, the entire ecology that we have, that's hashkocha. On the min, like it says. So this is the general ants, general namalas eat this.
Is the point, sorry, I don't know if I got the point. Is the point that from the seeming precision of the mozoin of the ant, you see the ashgocha in it. In other words, it would be one chitu, so there could be kedarkoi. But it's absurd that there should be dafka stop at chitu v'cheti. It seems to be.
I don't know if he's trying to say that when the Gemara is trying to say it eats a minimal amount, it needs the barest of chitu. The description, an apt description of the barest of chitu, would be. Let's take just another example so we understand. The morale is Divri Chazal are called Divri Chachamim v'chidosam, the words of the wise and their metaphors. Chidah is not a riddle in the sense of, you know, how many people does it take to screw in a light bulb type, but rather it's a riddle in the sense that it's a metaphor used in a certain way. So when Chazal wanted to describe that a berry like an amala has a minimal amount of need, the right description for it is a chito machza. Just like, for instance, if you were writing a novel and you wanted to describe about somebody who was duly warned and then suffered consequences, you would say, after three times being warned, why'd you pick three? I mean, it's a novel, so you could pick anything you want. The answer is three is a certain, it conveys a certain sense. Chito Machza conveys that sense that the chito is smaller than the ant, and yet, and it's a chilek that it gets. And as HaKadosh Baruch Hu portion it very little mezonos. Va'oma, she'im she beri ktana, hioleches uvekoineses kol ma she'af shaloi, she'omeres shema yigza Hashem yisbaruch chayim, ve'kol ze l'midas yisbaruch. And somebody asked it last week, it doesn't seem to be a very good midah to be, you know, putting away stuff for chayim and so on. Ke'chayim einam nimnoyim l'shem beriya, שים חיים של ילומס וכמוי שקודם שחת האדם שנמנע מצר עצמו שכל נברואים אינם מייסים וחב הגור ממיסה לכל ומאחר שמצר עצמו שכל נברואים אינם נמנע שיכל העולם רק שיש גור מצר אחר וכך יזויז עצמו את כל שאף של הסיף שם יסיב ושיכוי זה אלה כמו שקודם אחת. So let's explain this point here also. It's interesting, a person who's a bardas has very reasonable sense about himself and what's going to happen and so on and so forth. And we generally, somebody who is a bardas and he's well balanced can take things in stride. There's certain things we can't take in stride, and that's our mortality. Nobody takes well his mortality. The idea that we're going to die is alien to us, even though scientifically it's quite established as a fact. So what's the pshat in that? What's the pshat that we have this crazy sense? I mean, everybody knows, Shem v'gosh my name, and you know, Mayav Astrim or whatever it is. Why don't we have a sense of it? And the answer is, and this is the point he's saying over here, Be'etzem Chayim Mitzar Atzmoy doesn't have a gemar. Chayim is something that life is something that is self-sufficient, something that renews itself from itself. It is actually one of the greatest puzzles in biology is, why do we die? Because if within 5 years you replaced every single piece of your car, then your car would not be an old car, it would be a new car. You would date the time that it's expected obsolescence from the last time you changed everything. We change every single cell in our body. Every single cell in our body. So how does the body know? How does the body know how old we are? The cells that digested the birthday cake are long gone. I think it's like every 4 months, every cell is replaced. So where's the piece? You know, and this is one of the great puzzles. And they have answers for it. They have many answers, but it's not posh at all. It's something that's quite baffling. Chaim from itself, if something can renew itself totally, a computer that can fix itself totally should never be broken, unless a car smashed or something. Anything can refix itself. So it must be. So the answer is yes. Chaim mitzad atzmoy is eternal, and it is an outside force that crushes it, which is the gzera of Misa. Misa is a gzera. So that means chiyus, and he's saying this even about Balachayim. Chiyus mitzad atzmoi is something that's self-invigorating. It's self-renewing. It's sort of a yeshmayin, and therefore it shouldn't have an end to itself. And that's why, that's what it means. It says maybe it'll be nigza midal chay loylam, because chayim and zrizus is a mida, and I think that's part of the point that he's stressing is zrizus is something that comes from the panim. It's not I gotta finish this by the deadline and take care of it, but rather it's a constant resurgence from inside. Lekachi zrizus atzalos. Yes.
Chayim also. What chayim is loshen plural. We don't say chayim.
Right.
It's because it comes from the arena.
I don't know if that's that. There are other reasons why, but I'm not sure that this is a reason. But chayim is something that is, it's kula yischatshus, and it's something that's constantly renewing. I mean, I guess in a deeper way, if you want to understand a little bit, the difference between the animate and the inanimate is a rock is a rock because it was a rock yesterday. A rock that's standing around is such because the given is that it's a rock, and therefore I don't have to ask tomorrow why is the rock still a rock. It's a rock because it was a rock, and that's why it'll be unless something comes to change it. If something is living, it needs an explanation every minute. You know, every minute something has to be happening in order for it to be alive. So that means it's always it's mischanish itself. As a rock has a status quo, and therefore something can wear it down. But chayim is always the reason why it's living is because it itself is keeping itself alive. Its functions and its body are such that it keeps itself alive. So chayim is atzmoi should be lenetzach. This is one of the reasons why Olam Haba is Chayim Nitzchiyim. That's the normal Malach of Chayim is something that lasts. And that's why we don't have, our innocence is we expect to live forever, because we do, because Chayim does have it. We're very disappointed when somewhere along the line we disappear, because it's not built in, it's something that comes from the outside and cuts it.
Is again, like the way the Rabbi Yonah says, "Ritzoncha sheloi Thomas, Musa sheloi Thomas."
Right.
So it could be that there's the Be'etim, the miss is just like, you know, it's an interruption. It's not a missa. It's not a gemar. It's just a temporary state of change.
Correct. But in terms of the physical self, in other words, physically, as far as we're concerned, it's finished. There's no, even Trios HaMesim, unless you believe and sense a neshama, what's between the thing that's come alive again to the thing that was alive? What remains of it? If I remove this building entirely, and then I, for some reason, rebuild it exactly like it was, it's not the same building, it's the second building. So it's the kerech achius in the person, whatever it is, that you, neshama, whatever it is, that can have that again. But as far as we're concerned, it's still mortal. Mortality, you know, as long as we sense ourselves to be part of the physical self. If somebody has a computer and he sees in the computer, the physical computer, if it's smashed, it's gone. If I buy a new one, then it's no computer. If it's the content that I have in the computer and I can just pull out the disk and put it into the new one, then as far as I'm concerned, it's the same computer. The monitor and the keyboard and the motherboard doesn't make a difference because it's not the tochen shebo. So he says, "Ve'eich lo yilmad mizeh adam, ki im roye sheyazuzus b'kamoi zeh, kol shkin she'adam muchel la'chayim anitzchim she'olam haba, le'yazur es leser v'lichnois, she'esh la'eis la'hachin she'muchel la'eis ha'shelach la'hachin." So a person needs to push himself for the to keep doing. It's mitzad the koyach achiyus of the person, and now that the person knows that there'll be a time when he won't be able to collect, he'll be around but he won't be collected, the person should certainly collect. V'oma, ki pam achas motza b'boyer shalosh shalosh meyas kurim. V'rotza b'zeh, what does he want to do that? Ki moyshe macholo b'tachza muot b'shamanu. just like on the one hand, it eats the least amount. The word 300 is always the highest share. And that's why it says the number 3 and the number 100. And everyone, whenever Chazal say 300, it means the most possible, the maximum, so on.
Didn't he say another piece
of
60?
300 is by him. It's a Derech Guzman Chazal's 300. A lot of places like that, which is 300 something. I remember in a few places. I don't remember offhand where, but I've come across it a few times. 60 also means many. 60 is where he speaks about Shishim Ribu.
Right.
But 300 is the Loshon Chazal. There was 300 trees and 300 this. There's a lot of 300s. V'omer ki pamach zot zibor shel shleish mes kurin. Rasa zek meshu chol tachas. V'ashir zek shleish mes kurin mo'in asher yoyse. V'dov zek baren v'kam mekoymos. V'niske dov zek pekir anoshem chen v'bchayrus. V'ein shir shiriska shir godl ki mo'i misbazer. V'dov zek yidur lunim v'inim. Ki ba'olam haze in roye she mispa yoyse olof. V'ein kam wakam zek yidur b'chochma. V'chol zek tachas azrizus asher efshe. Hazam v'rei docheh v'chakeim. So, let's go back to the Maimon Chazal. Let's try to understand a little bit. So he's saying as follows. He's saying that take a look at the Nemala. Nemala is busy gathering stuff. It's not going to be able to use it, and still it has this Koyach HaZrizus and so on. So what he wants to say is, what are we learning from Baal Chayim? We're learning that it is part of a good teva of the world to be industrious. In other words, industriousness is not something that sort of is, it's like, well, if you'll need it, and so on and so forth. You see that the Baal Chayim Mitzar Atzmi, just like a person is ambitious. When a person is ambitious, and a person tries to get things and do things and so on and so forth, so normally we say it has to have some sort of tachlis to it. Like we say, well, why are you working so hard? Well, what do you want to do? You know, what do you want to get? Like, even if you'll get much more money or much more prestige or whatever it is, that's how we say it critically. But if you see a person who's lazy and the person gets by, we feel there's a lack of chiyus if the person's not industrious. If somebody is managing, but he's lazy, he's not using himself to his fullest potential, and so on. So we ask him, you know, the midah that's lacking is zrizus. And you see that mitzad koyach chayim of a person, there should be this force to keep doing, to be active, and to accumulate. The only thing worth accumulating, obviously, is things that have some kiyum, like the nemala. In other words, in the nemala's world, industriousness is appropriate. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the teva with appropriate things, and this is another. You know, as Chazal showed us that the anhagas HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in teva, when you understand what those anhagas are appropriate anhagas, and one can learn from it. And you see from the fact that Nirmala is the best example of being so industrious, and that's something you see is the appropriate meter for a person to have bets. That's the point that he's making. Okay, then he goes to the other Chazal over here. There was the Chazal about making sure that it doesn't steal from anything else. He brought down and so on. Rabbanu Mefarshim, Rei Ruchev HaKeim Shebarachs Min HaGezel. They learned that there's no Gezel. What's the Lema? Adam, yeah? Ah, kia adam yira v'yechkam lama nasna shem yizbarach libriya zois yisa achana shemachnisa machala kol kach aval dovazem ne sheberach zagel zve noitza shalacha lekach noitza shem zbarach koyach lasa v'zen izharbe hefach mashir she adam. So he says here, you see another thing built into this teva, that being that she doesn't take zela, that's why she's putting away so much. So he says, V'dova ze'ena, kim hoya adam bereach min ha'gez la'ashem esbach noisun ha'chon al parnasa, k'moy she'nimtza b'nemola she'im ba'gezel. V'anemola b'frat mucham b'yoysa dova ze'ashem esbach ba'gezel. Okay, let's talk about this a little bit also. Whenever we find a hanhaga in the Bria that is not, that can't be answered by evolution. I'm using evolution not because Chazal concerned themselves that much evolution, but it's something that this was the natural. Why is it that a lion eats sheep? Because a lion eats sheep. It's natural for him to eat sheep. That's what he lives on. And he tears them and eats them. There's not a question. There's no question answer. Why is it that deer eat vegetation? Because that's what they eat. But when you see something, when you see a Baal Chai do something which is counterintuitive, not take something that really another one's marked off. Now, So the evolutionists will come up with some sort of formula why that's really helpful. We understand it as being the real answer, as being HaKadosh Baruch Hu has demonstrated a lot of tov within the nature of the Bria. There is the fact that mothers protect the young and so on. I saw, by the way, a beautiful vart. I want to share it. It's sort of on the topic of Baal Chaim and so on. I think it's one of the most beautiful verts I've ever seen. There's a sefer called... There was somebody called Rabbi Elimelech Bar Shaul. Elimelech Bar Shaul was Rabbi Elimelech Scholzen, and he changed his name to Rabbi Elimelech Bar Shaul. He was Rav of Rehovot. He had some affiliation with Chabad, some Yenike from Chabad, from his home. He was kind of a little more modern, dealt with a more modern Mizrahi type crowd, beautiful Sfarim, really beautiful Divrei Machshava, and they're called Reach Mayim, Mitzvah. There are four Sfarim of them. They're unfortunately underutilized, I think, by our world. They used to once upon a time be fairly popular. The girls' seminaries, I don't know if they do it anymore, but his Sfarim are really beautiful. Their ideas are beautiful. It's very well presented. It has a modernish tone to it, but the content is really very good. And he has the following explanation: why is it that by Ken Sipper you're not allowed to take the mother bird with the eggs? Why can't you take it? So. Why is so? He says like this. He brings a pshat in the following way. He says, the easiest a mother bird will never leave the eggs. So the easiest way to capture a mother bird is by waiting when it's sitting on the eggs and grabbing it. So he said, motherhood and the sense of protectiveness that a mother has for its children is one of the noblest features that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the Bria. The total selflessness. And to take advantage of that midah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the Bria is disgraceful. And that's why you want the eggs, send the mother away and take the eggs. But don't capture the mother while it's performing an act of motherhood. Very, very beautiful verse. He really writes it beautifully. It's unfortunate. I don't know why people. It's a very good sefer to learn. He presents the material very beautifully and in a way that could speak to more. It's a little bit. I find them a little bit overly. You know, there's a lot of the build up is a little bit on the lengthy side. But it's a beautiful sefer. And he says it's the teva. Whenever we look and we see in the Bria some teva that is reminiscent of something extraordinarily of a mitzvah. It is that. It's not our imagination. But when you see the fact that a namala has taken something, nobody will go near it. That's not just a mikra. That you see that a HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the Bria. Obviously, it's not. You don't find another Baal Chaim, but that's not a kasha. All Baal Chaim function on physical needs. So of course it eats and bites and grabs and pulls and does what needs to be done. But when you find all the midas do have examples in the Bria, that's what Chazal are pointing out over here. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reason why it gathers that much is because it's not, it doesn't take matters. I want to add another nekuda of explanation. It says tzaddikim, chavivin. The reason why Yaakov Avinu went back for Parham Tanim is because chavivin amoyner shal tzaddikim aleihem, because there's no gezel in it. Since there's no gzela, that's why it's very chaviv. So the one pshat is kind of a mitzvahic way of looking at it. It's kind of very kadosh. There's no gzela in it, but it's hard to get a sense of it. The truth is, there's a layer of pshat in it. It doesn't have to go with the mitzvah part of it. For us, for somebody who's not so zohir in gezel, so for instance, let's say I'd be less than zohir in gezel. I'm not going to upset this somewhere. Okay. So I'm not above taking something that's mine. So when I have something that's mine, I'm not so connected either to it so much, because since bailus is not is let's give an example. Let's take somebody who's learned to do well on exams by cheating, by looking at other people's papers. And he usually gets between 85 and 90 because he's got good eyesight and he's quicker than the teacher and he does well. Let's say he once actually got a 90 on his own. He doesn't have that simcha because for him it's all about the mark. It doesn't represent something that he's accomplished. So there's no real kinyan in the chfeitzim because the person doesn't have a sense of accomplishment in it. When you have a sense of accomplishment, because the only things that you have are those things that are yours, that means that your kinyan in it becomes something extremely, extremely significant. You won't touch something that's not yours. So what is yours is really yours. It's you. So just like a person feels very attached to his child because his child is his child, no else's child, no else's child is his child. It's very clear. This is me. This is mine. This is you. This is yours. If it would be the same thing by mamonis, then there's an extraordinary chvivus to it. He says we learn. This is the reason why the Namala has the sense. So he's saying it on a Pashto level, you know, that it's never going to take somebody else's, so it has to store up a lot of its own. I think it also has a deeper knach to it, that it really has the sense of gathering material because it's his. It really is his.
That's the key.
What?
That's the key.
That's the key also. That's right. Correct. That's the nichus lekiyum is because anyone. I mean, if you have children, they're getting different ages. Anything that you buy a child, a gift, will get lost, broken, stolen, forgotten at some point. It's not rare. But if a child works somewhat to buy a computer, an iPad, or whatever it is in America, here, whatever else there is for them, they kind of keep real watch over them, because it's their metzias. Because if all it is an object, then I don't have the fanatical need to keep it. But if this is what I worked for a summer, then I have a very, very strong sense to keep it in. Okay, maybe we'll hold it here. It's late. I don't want to. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Bez Hashem, next, we're on Thursday usually, right? Yes.